Hello, neighbor. You're tuned in to the Westwood Gospel Time of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida.
The church, as biblically defined. Now, when you think church, we think this worship service, this building that we come into. And well, this is for church is for everybody. Come on in. That church is defined by Scripture, is not these buildings, not this roof, but it is the local body of believers covenant together to carry out the commands of Christ. Now, everyone may be welcome to come in and to witness what transpires, but make no mistake, church, by biblical definition, is not for everybody. We've outlined it. It's for people that have been saved, publicly professed that they know Christ as their Savior, and been scripturally baptized. It is a privilege, not a right. You are not entitled to be a member of one of the Lord's churches. And as such, these privileges, salvation cannot, will not be revoked regardless of what an individual does. It is a gift. The only thing you have to do is to accept it. The Bible outlines the process for that. However, for church membership, one presents himself to the body. One is accepted. It's verified that he speaks the truth, that he has been baptized, he has been saved. And as such, these privileges can and scripturally should be revoked when an individual operates outside or against the interests of the church body. So please don't misunderstand. This is not the first step towards correcting a problem. The church's first step always, biblically, is reconciliation. However, and this is what we will see, if there's another who, having walked disorderly, refuses or declines from making amends to the church that he has injured with his misconduct as a member of that body, the Bible outlines the proper steps for church discipline towards that individual. There was one when Paul wrote to Corinth, they had to cast out because of a living situation. Later, we find he had turned away from that and the church received him again. He said, restore unto him this fellowship. It had been revoked because he was actively causing harm to that body of Christ. But when he turned, when he repented, and it wasn't just to, this isn't just about, you hurt my feelings. This is about you've done harm to the body as a whole because of the activities or whatever has transpired. And so you apologize to the body as a whole, and you are received back in that fellowship. That's biblically how it's outlined. However, the scriptures strictly command the exclusions of persons who willfully become a reproach to their church and persist in such a behavior. They will not correct it. They will not change it. So this is not done out of hatred or out of spite, but they have been addressed. It will not be fixed. And so the church as a whole is commanded to exclude them from those privileges of that church body until such time as they can be reconciled through that repentance back into the fold of that fellowship. You find this in 1 Corinthians 5, verses 11 through 12. As a matter of fact, Paul makes mention in these verses about not judging those he's out, judge those that are without. He said, but those that are within, we ought to judge. We think, judge not that ye be not judged. Listen, you need to rightly divide the word of truth. You need to understand what Scripture means, what it says, so that you can live it out properly. And we are to be held accountable. As a matter of fact, I believe it was Peter that wrote, let judgment begin at the house of the Lord, here amongst ourselves. And then we find also in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 6 and 14, the same issue about church discipline. And we hate to carry it out because people's feelings get hurt. It's not about my feelings. It's not about your feelings. It's about the cause of Christ. And if you or I actively cause reproach and harm against the cause of Christ and refuse to be repentant, you are scripturally to exclude me from the fellowship of this body. And it's not your fault. It's my fault because I would not be reconciled back to this flock. That's the thought here. It's not done out of hatred. It's done because we're commanded to, and we don't want to see the entirety of a church body suffer and their reputation be tarnished because one of our own refuses to accept the disciplines outlined in Scripture. So we find out of the Bible, it's clear. We pledge our cooperation and our understanding to this principle. When there is no repentance, there must be a revoking of fellowship. And we've practiced church discipline in the past. When something has happened, people apologize and they're welcome back into the fold. We see in the church covenant, and more importantly in the Word of God, without these scriptural truths, whatever man writes down here has no scriptural authority. It has no godly power whatsoever. But this covenant is to remind us to enforce the principles that are taught in the Word of God. That's why the further that you dig into this, the more seriousness the issue at hand, that you realize we need to know what we've covenanted together to do and actively be involved in obeying it and carrying it out. Then we get to the doctrines. Exhortation in doctrine is needful, and the Bible says it furnishes one unto all good works. You can find that in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. The doctrine that you promised to sustain furnishes all of us unto good works. And one must know the doctrines in order to uphold or to sustain them well. The term doctrine means, let me tell you what it does not mean. It does not mean a preacher's personal preference. It does not mean a tradition passed down over the methods of man. What the term doctrine does mean is an established or an accepted teaching. And our Lord's church has established teachings which every member should learn and should uphold. By doing this, you will be able to avoid being tossed about by every wind of heresy. And there are many. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 14. And doctrine, knowing what the Bible teaches us and upholding it, protects us from being led astray by false or bad doctrines. And so we vow to uphold it. Just like the worship, you can't uphold or sustain it if you're not here. The doctrines, you cannot sustain them if you do not know what they are. This is why it's important for every member of a church to get into the Word of God for themselves and know what does it say. Not just because the preacher gets up here and tells you week after week it's a good thing for you to do, but because if you have joined yourself to this body as a member, you have made a pledge to do this, a vow that you will uphold the doctrines. Then we get to everybody's favorite part, to contribute cheerfully and regularly to the support of the ministry, the expenses of the church, the relief of the poor, and the spread of the gospel through all nations. You ever wonder why Baptists take up so many offerings? Because we promise to participate in them. Did you know as part of our worship? The Bible makes it clear. One vows to financially support the church. Well, I didn't agree to that. I'll read my Bible, and I'll pray for the things you ask for. I'll be here when doors are open, but you're not getting my money. I hate to break it to you, but did you know that you promised the church, not the pastor, not you promised the church your money, that you would sustain it, that you would contribute towards it, you as an individual. You didn't, in fact, only agree to participate in giving. You pledged yourself to the regular act of it. So may I set forth to you this morning that a church dies. I got to kind of start winding things down until time just will not allow us to get through all of these in great detail. A church dies when its covenant is broken. Now you ponder that and you let that sink in. So that's not true. A church dies when they quit winning people to Christ. It's there. Okay. A church dies when the people stop coming to church. It's there. A church dies when the people stop giving financially. It's there. A church dies when they have schisms and divisions and they fight and bad. It's there. It's there. It's there. You give me a reason that a church withers away and dies, and I can almost guarantee you the covenant has been broken.
You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. Tune in next time as we continue our study through God's precious Word. Well, from now until tomorrow, may God bless you richly, is our prayer.